Morning, we began to study together a subject of the Holy Spirit and miracles. I concluded this morning by the statement that miracles have ceased. Some have questioned me about that statement, and I want to clarify it this evening. When I'm talking about miracles, I'm talking about miracles where divine intervention has happened and there is no mistake and there is no question that it has been done so. Today, God can do anything that He so wills. God's will is whatever is best in our lives and what's according to His will. In James 5 and verse 16, the Bible tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If God's power was not to change, why have us pray for things in our lives, whether it be things of a personal nature, difficulties we are going through, illnesses of loved ones? Why pray if nothing can be done? There has to be a way that God answers prayer, and I believe that He does through the area of providence. But what we're talking about are miracles, and what we are centering on this evening are the purpose of miracles and how miracles were done and why they were done. This morning when I left you this morning, I told you there were three classes of people in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, where we're going to center on this evening, that had the ability to do miracles. One, of course, was Jesus Christ. Now, why did Jesus perform miracles? Well, the Bible answers that question. In Acts, the second chapter, in verse 22, the first gospel sermon given on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter made this statement. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Why did He do them? They were a testament that He was who He claimed to be. He claimed to be the Son of God, something that the Jews wanted to stone Him for and accused Him of blasphemy. But His signs and wonders and miracles proved that He was sent from God. That was one of the reasons that He did miracles. The Bible also says, and we read this passage this morning from John 3 and verse 2, when Nicodemus had this conversation with Jesus, he knew that He was a teacher come from God because he knew that no man could do the things that Jesus did unless God be with him. He knew by the things that he saw that this man was who he claimed to be, and that was the Son of God. But really, the summation of why Jesus did miracles is in the book of John, chapter 20, and the last two verses of that great chapter. And in it, the Apostle John wrote, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." Miracles were done so men would believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Anointed One. It was done to demonstrate He was the Son of God. And by believing those two facts, and by being obedient to His command, man might have life. So miracles were done by Jesus to prove and to confirm that He indeed was the Son of God. And brethren, all you've got to do is read the Gospel of John. Over and over these claims are made by Jesus, and over they are reconfirmed by the signs and the wonders that He did. But others were also able to do miracles in the Bible, the apostles. Now, why did the apostles do miracles? Well, the Bible tells us that also. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12, truly the signs of an apostle. Now, notice this statement. The signs of an apostle. What were the signs of an apostle? Were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The things that the apostles did was one point of evidence that they were sent by God. They were evidence that the message they taught was inspired by God. It was evidence that they had been sent by the Christ. We also read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul talking about his preaching in his speech, he said, "And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Notice, a demonstration, something that could be seen, of power and of Spirit. Hence, the apostles performed miracles to show or to prove, or if you would like the word confirm, that they were apostles, that they were sent by God, and that they preached the word of God. All of that gave validity and authenticity to the message that it was God inspired. It wasn't the thoughts of Paul, wasn't the thoughts of Peter or Mark or James or Matthew or the Apostle John. They were inspired of God, and the deeds and the miracles confirmed that that was so. You know, all preachers, according to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, must speak as the oracles of God. Does that mean all preachers got to do miracles? You listen to some people on our radio and television set, you would think so. You would think that the only way that you could tell whether a person is really an ambassador or a prophet for God or a speaker for God is by what he can do. No, brethren, there's another way. And the other way is exactly what Peter affirms here, is that we speak as the oracles of God. We speak as God's word directs us. But these were not the only ones that could do miracles. What about the early disciples? They also had the ability to perform miracles. Why did they perform miracles? Well, in Acts, the 8th chapter, in verse 18, it says, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands of the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." We see spiritual gifts, which were disciples of the New Testament times, were given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And we're going to talk a lot about that in just a minute. We also learn that the power to perform miracles could only be received from the apostles. Now, brethren, that is a point that men cannot get around today. That if there's the ability to do miracles, and Bible miracles are being done today, then it must have the line of authority and how they were given the power. Because there is only one way, by Bible standard, that man had the ability to do miracles. Now, one of the things I want to remind you, and I'm going to talk more about this when we get into my lesson about tongues. Because when we talk about tongues, we're going to talk about three chapters in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. So I'm not going to take the time tonight to go through that, but when you go through those three chapters, they not only give us the truth about tongues, it gives us the truth about all spiritual gifts and why they were given and how they were given. But tonight I want to show you that it is not a figment of my imagination, and I didn't make this up, and this isn't Church of Christ doctrine, that we believe that the only way miracles could be given is by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Let's see what the Bible says about it. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Let's show you by the Bible that indeed is true. Now, in Acts chapter 6, there was a problem, the neglecting of the Grecian widows. And there were some men that were called upon to take care of this problem. And if you notice down in verse 5, one of these men was Philip. One of these men was Philip. Now, it says in verse 6, "And when they set, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them." Who is them? The man up in verse 5. "And one of these men was Philip." Now, what was Philip doing? Well, he was in Samaria. Look at verse number 7. "And the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Now, go forward now to Acts 8. Now, Acts 8 is where we want to spend some time for a moment. Now we pick up Philip alone. He is in Samaria. Notice verse number 6. "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing," look at the next part of the verse, "and seeing the miracles which he did." Now, Philip an apostle? No. Was he Jesus Christ? Of course not. But he was a disciple, and the apostles laid hands on him in Acts chapter 6. Now, did he do miracles? Look at the next verse. "For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed." Now, there's no doubt that these things were miracles. The lame walked, paralyzed, demons were exercised. These things were miracles, and they were done by one that wasn't the Christ and wasn't an apostle. But the apostle had laid hands on him. Now, he was preaching in Samaria. Now, I want you to look down at verse number 13. Now, Simon takes an interest. Simon is a sorcerer, and he had bewitched the people by what we would call being a magician, sleight of hand. And people thought that he was some great person. But he couldn't hold a candle to the things that Philip could do. And believe me, this man knew the difference. He knew the difference. He made his living out of making a mockery and fooling people. But when he saw Philip and the things that he could do, he knew Philip was somebody a lot different than him. Look at verse number 13. It says, then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed. He was a man who was a sorcerer, one who is a magician, one who makes a living out of fooling people with a sleight of hand and hoodwinks of eyes, and he was amazed at what he could see that Philip could do. Now, that would be significant, except we need to go on. In verse number 14, it says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent for Peter and John to them. Why? Here is a man who had the ability to do miracles. Unclean spirits, casting out demons, healing the paralyzed, healing the lame. Here is a man that did miracles, and it's evident, and nobody is disputing the miracles that he did. Caused many people to believe the words that he said. So let me ask you a question. Why send for Peter and John? The next verse tells us. The Bible says, and when they had come down, he prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, it had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Then, look at verse 17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When did they receive the Holy Spirit, or the workings of the Holy Spirit? When Peter and John laid hands, they received the gift. Why couldn't they get it from Philip? Philip was doing the miracles. Unclean spirit, the paralyzed, the lame. He was doing it. Why didn't they not receive it from Philip? Because Philip could not pass it on to someone else. Now, do you think Simon knows the difference between what Philip could do and what Peter could do? Look at the next verse. Now, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, that anyone whom I lay, verse 18, laying on the apostles' hands, that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. You know what Simon saw? Money. He saw what he could do if he had that power. If he had the power that he could lay hands on others and that would pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, people already thought he was a great man. He had already fooled them for many years. What would he do if now he could pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, you know what? He couldn't buy them. Because Peter told him his money perished with him, that he thought he could buy the gift of God with the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this little episode so important? Because it teaches a great, great truth. Thus we see Philip had received the power to perform miracles by the laying on of the apostles' hands in Acts chapter 6, but that he did not have the power to pass it on to other people. For it was necessary for the apostles, Peter and John by name, to come down and do that for the converts in Samaria. Now, one other little side note here. Why would they need the Holy Spirit? Well, for one reason, spiritual gift, because the written word is not in written form yet. This was in vessels of men. How are they going to teach? How are they going to be edified? How are they going to know what the truth is? They didn't have the written word. It had to be given to men. And it was done miraculously through the laying on the apostles' hands. But you know what? The ones that it was given to, they could not pass it on to others. And there's one other little note here. They didn't get it all. Whoever the apostles laid hands on got the particular gift that they were given. And when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it lists all 9 spiritual gifts, it talks about one of the problems in Corinth, that they were in competition with one another. They thought certain gifts were greater than other gifts. And what Paul tries to teach them in 1 Corinthians is that all the gifts are different, but they all work together for one reason. What was the reason? To teach the Word of God, to confirm the message, and to propagate the Word of God. Now, this is further seen the fact that only apostles performed miracles until the apostles laid hands on Philip. Beginning in Acts 2, we don't see anybody else doing miracles except the apostles until the laying on of those men in Acts chapter 6. Go back to chapter 3. It's Peter. It's Peter again in Acts 4. It's Peter and the apostles. We don't see anyone else doing miracles except Jesus, of course, until after the laying on of the apostles' hands. Now look at Acts 2:43. It says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Through the apostles. In Acts 3:7, "He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Who was that? That was Peter. Peter did that miracle, healing the lame man. Chapter 4, verse 33, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to all the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Acts 5:12, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." And then we go to Acts 6, and then they laid hands on those men in Acts 6, and some other men were given the ability to perform miracles. Now, all of this demonstrates that the only way that the apostles were able to impart spiritual gifts is by the laying on of their hand upon another. Now, after the apostles laid hands on these men, they could perform miracles. That's true from Acts 8, verse 18. Now, look at Romans chapter 1 for a minute. Look at verse 11. Why did he want to come to Rome? What was one of the reasons Paul wanted to go to Rome? He tells us in verse 11, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so you may be established." You see, brethren, remember, the written word's not here. How the apostles can't be everywhere at once. There's just 12 men. How are they going to cover the whole face of the earth? How are they going to propagate the gospel message to broaden the borders of the kingdom? How are they going to edify who's converted? How are they going to be edified? How are they going to be built up? Somebody's going to have to teach them. What are they going to teach them? They didn't know the truth. It wasn't in written form. It was given by the laying on of hands. The brethren, we also know in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 8, Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 8, "Therefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Why did he give these gifts to men? Well, in verse 11 and 12, it talks about the different things, apostles and evangelists, prophets, pastors and teachers, equipping the saint for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ in verse 12. But look at verse number 14. Why was all this done? 14 tells us that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Why? Because you're going to get the authentic message. You're not going to have to be worried about being deceived, because God's going to make it inexpressible that the message you received is from God. And he did that by signs accompanying. Now, what is the conclusion? To the Romans, Paul said that spiritual gifts were for the purpose of establishing them. To the Ephesians, he said the gifts were to keep them from being deceived by false doctrine. Before the New Testament was written, they had spiritual gifts to establish and confirm them in the faith and thus protect them from false doctrine by those who were trying to deceive them and lead them away from Christ. No one has that power today because Christ is in heaven, all the apostles are dead, and all those that laid hands on are dead, and it wouldn't make any difference if they weren't, because they don't have the ability to pass it on to other men. Now, brethren, ask yourself this question. Ask your Pentecostal friends and those who believe in gifts today, where did they get them? Where did they get it? Jesus is not here to lay hands on them. The apostles aren't here to lay hands on them. And any that were, even if they were living, we even give them a great big if. Even if there were some living, they cannot pass it on. How did they get it? And how did they get it? And I can't get it. Kind of makes God a respected person, doesn't it? How can they have it and I don't have it? Oh, they got an answer to that. Why? You don't have enough faith. I got faith. I got faith that God can do anything he says, but if we're going to have the ability to do miracles, we're going to have to get it from God. And God said the only way you can get it, according to the scriptures, is by the laying on the apostles' hands. And you know, that's why some religions have the line and succession of apostles continue. So then they can get around that argument. And how they do that, they go back to Acts 1 and say, when the Spirit fell on, it didn't fall on the 12, it fell on the 120. No, you go back and read the context of Acts 1 and Acts 2, and you will see in the context that it fell upon the apostles and only the apostles. And you know why that's so? They were the ones that were promised it. Jesus, in that private conversation, was he talking to 120? Or was he talking to the 11 after Judas went out? Go read John 13, 14, 15, and 16. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He wasn't talking to 120. He was talking to them, and he promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promised them the ability to guide them in all truth. He promised them that they would be sent to Comforter. He did not promise the 120. He promised the 11. And then Matthias was added in Acts chapter 1, and it says, when they were all together in one place, who is they? It is not the 120. It is the 12, because that's who the promise was given to. Brethren, if men have the ability to do miracles today, there's an apostle still living somewhere. But according to all that I've read, they all died a martyr's death except the apostle John, who died of old age. He was the last apostle. He died, depending on what you read, by the end of the first century. The brethren, if the apostles are gone, if Jesus is not here, then there is no ability to do miracles today. And the other problem is, for what reason would they need to be done? The word has already been confirmed. If the word has already been confirmed, why do I need them? They said, well, you need them because of all the false doctrines in the world. They're a sign for other people to know that you're speaking the truth. Oh, no. Uh-uh. Because they can know. Because they have something the first century didn't have. They got the Bible. They got the confirmed record. You see, the early church didn't have this. But today, men do have it. And if you want to know if something is confirmed, if you want to know if something came from God, how are you going to know it? Only one way. You're going to have to open the book and check it out. And that's what God tells us to do. Isn't that what he tells us to do? That's exactly what he tells us to do. Well, I'm not going to go into 1 Corinthians because that'll get into my other lesson. But I do want to share some things with you tonight because I want to ask a question. And my question is this. If Bible miracles are still in force today and still being able to be done, I want to know if men can do any of these things that I want to talk about for a minute. I want you to notice, in this, all we're going to do is we're going to show true miracles and what they did and how they did them. Here's my question tonight. Do men have power over nature? Now, if we have the ability to do miracles, then we can do any of the Bible miracles that we read about in the Bible, because all of them were done by the power of God, and the power of God cannot be limited. So if they were done then, and we have the same ability today, and the Holy Spirit is working in us, then we can do the same things that these people did. Now I want you to consider some of these, brethren. Water into wine. John 2, verse 1 through 11. So, well, wait a minute, I've seen people do that. No, you haven't seen them do that. You've seen them deceive you to think that they did that, but you've never seen anybody take water, ordinary water, and turn it into table wine. You've never seen that. But not only that, in John chapter 2, where this miracle is recorded, nobody else had ever seen it. It was the first time it was ever done. And you know what's remarkable about this particular miracle is that even the people at that wedding feast knew that it was better than what they had drunk previous to this. And remember, they were amazed. You know, usually people, after they've had their fill, and you know, you get down to people who are still lingering around, then you bring out the other stuff because there are just a few people left. But he said, you brought out the best at the end. What made it best? What made it different? Because Jesus turned the water into wine. I don't see people doing that today. What about the draw to fishes? We got some fishermen here. What would you do if somebody told you, well, you just throw your net over this side of the boat and you're going to pull in more fish than you can haul in? Well, I've been fishing all night. There's nothing there. We've been fishing all night. We ain't got a bite. He said, throw it over there on the right side of the boat. And when they did, they had a draught of fishes. Men do that today? They have that power? Tempest come. I'll believe. I'll become a Pentecost tonight. If somebody will take me out to Lake Erie when it gets really bad, and I'm going to be real close to the pier, but they take me out there a little ways in one of those storms when it comes up on Lake Erie, And I want to see them stand on the pier, and I want them to say, peace be still, in that water just comes as calm as glass. Can men do that? You ever seen anybody claim to do that? You ever claim to see anybody out there be able to calm the seas and the wind and the storm by just speaking the word? You ever seen anybody do that? You ever seen anybody claim to do that? I never have. And you'll never see one of our TV evangelist friends doing that because they don't have that kind of power. What about walking on the water? Here's another one. Just let me see it. I'll become a believer. Let somebody walk on the water. They don't have to walk a long way. Just walk a couple of feet. Just walk on the water. Jesus was able to do that. Not only that, he brought Peter out there with him. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, can men walk on water today? Well, you listen to them, you think they can. But you've never seen anybody do that, have you? Because they'll sink like a rock, won't they? The fig tree withered. Now, I've seen trees wither where they have to be cut down, but I've never seen it done instantaneously. You ever seen a tree that's all healthy and in a minute, bam, it's withered and it's dead. It has to be pruned. It has to be cut down because it has no value. You ever seen that happen? I've seen it happen over a period of years, but I've never seen it done instantaneously. Second draw to fishers, again, John chapter 21, when Jesus, after his resurrection, they were hungry and they'd been fishing all night and they hadn't caught anything. He says, cast your net over there. Jesus, there's nothing there. We've been fishing all night. Just cast the net over there. Remember, it broke their net. There were so many fishes in it, broke their net. Brother, men do that today? Demon world. Oh, we got a lot of people claim to exorcise demons. Now, you know, I've met some people where I would probably, maybe in my mind, question whether they were possessed because of the way they act. But there's no demon possession today because that would take away man's free will. If you were possessed by a demon and made to do evil things, God couldn't hold you accountable for that. But you see, demon possession was possible in the first century because there was the ability to cast them out. You've got to have both. If you're going to have demon possession, you've got to have the ability to cast them out. You've got to have something to counteract it. Brethren, there is no ability for exorcism today. You ever seen him do it? I've seen him do it in a movie. But I've never seen him do it. I've never seen him do it really. I hear him claim to do it. By the way, you ever seen one where the demon talks? Remember when Matthew chapter 8? Remember Matthew chapter 8? The dumb man possessed in Matthew 9. Everybody's afraid of him, had him chained up. Everybody, he was kind of a wild man. Jesus healed him. Anybody deny that? See, anybody deny that he was a fraud and really didn't do that? No. The demonic of the Cadres healed in Mark chapter 5. Nobody denied it. Nobody could denounce that it was done. Demonic blind man's dumb in Luke chapter 11. He's dumb and he has an evil spirit and is cast out of him. Canaanite woman's daughter in Matthew the 15th chapter, verse 22 through 28. Men do that today? The boy with the unclean spirit in Mark chapter 9. You know what's remarkable about one of these accounts in Matthew chapter 8? The demon said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're here before the time. Why you come to tempt us before the time? And remember what they asked? How about casting us into the herd of swine? You ever seen any demons talk to people today and ask, tell them exactly how they want to be exercised? I've never seen that. I've never seen that. And they knew who Jesus was. You know, one of the greatest examples, and I didn't put this on the chart because I've just remembered it while I'm standing here talking, in Acts, the 13th chapter. Remember the sons of Sceva? Remember they had followed Paul around? Remember they just thought, hey, Paul can cast out these demons? We're going to do the same thing, and we're going to do it in the name of Paul and the name of Christ, who Paul preaches. Remember what happened in that when they tried to cast those demons out at that time? Remember what the demon said? Who are you? I know Paul. I know Christ, but I don't know you. And they went into the man that was supposedly supposed to be trying to cast them out. You know, I wish that still worked that way today. When people claim to do things and it would just turn upon them. Wouldn't that be a great sign that they were phony? Brethren, men don't have this type of power. Power over material things. Feeding 5,000. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the thing that's remarkable about this, that's just the men. Those were just the men that were numbered. There were more than that there. And when they were done, there were 12 baskets of fragments. You know, I remember some years ago in the debate, friend of mine had with a man who claimed the ability to do miracles. He just got out one night. He just put 5 loaves on the table. Didn't say anything. Just put them out there. And that Pentecostal preacher, he knew what was going on. He got, now I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to tempt me. You're trying to make me say, let me see, you don't have to feed 5,000. Just feed the people here with these 5 loaves. He says, you're tempting God. No, he wasn't tempting God. But he says, no, I wasn't going to have you do that, but I wanted to see the 12 baskets of fragments when you were done. Brethren, can men do this today? If they can, why do we got a hunger problem? Why do we got all these worldwide relief funds in Ethiopia and these countries that are starving? If men can make 5,000 with 2 loaves and 5 fishes, what can they do with double the amount, triple the amount? Why do we have any starving people in this world if you can do that today? 4,000, Matthew 15. Here's one. I like this one. You like to pay taxes? You ever found enough money in a fish to pay your taxes? That's what happened in Matthew chapter 7. Remember they were talking about tribute money? And then he told them to pull in the fish, and what did they find in the fish's mouth? They found the tribute money to pay their taxes. I'd like to do that. Had to be a pretty big fish with the amount of taxes we got to pay today. You ever see anybody do that? You ever hear anybody doing that? No. Why? Because it was a miracle. What about over disease? Here it is. Here's the one that brings it all together. All of our religious television friends and charlatans, because that's what they are, who claim to do miracles, their key is over sickness and infirmity. They can heal sickness. Can they? Look it. When they can't heal, what do they say? Well, it was your faith. You didn't have a strong enough faith. Let me ask you about the nobleman's son who came and asked for the son to be healed, his father. Where was the nobleman's son at? He wasn't there, was he? And we don't even know if he sent his father. His father's the one that had the faith in Jesus. Doesn't say anything about his son. But you notice in John chapter 4, he asked, when did he get better? The same hour that Jesus said, go by way for your son liveth. The same hour his son began to get better. The man's faith had nothing to do about it, did it? Does it today? Not if it's the power of God. Peter's mother-in-law, Matthew chapter 8. Man full of leprosy. Read about leprosy. Leprosy is a hideous disease. It covers your whole body. It's just awful to look at. You ever seen any of these guys heal somebody of leprosy? We still have leper colonies in this world. I'll become one tonight if you go there and heal a leper. You go in there and make his skin like it was when it was a baby. Can men do that today? You ever see any claim to do that? You ever see anybody claim to be able to do that? You know, a few years ago, one of the TBN evangelistic crusades went to one of the countries that had these leper colonies. Think they healed any of them? If they would have, it would have been on the front page of every newspaper in America. They didn't heal none of those lepers. They left. They came and they were lepers, and when they came back, they were lepers. Why? If you have the power of God. Man with palsy. Take up that bed and walk. You ever seen anybody do? Oh yeah, I've seen that. You've seen people do that. You don't have any evidence that they were always that way or they remained that way. Withered hand restored. You ever seen a withered hand that's been withered away by disease? Let one of these guys take one of these men or women with a withered hand, put it inside their coat, and come out and be just like mine. You ever seen anybody do that? You haven't, have you? Wonder why. Power of God is still in existence today. Woman with the issue of blood. She was persistent. She wouldn't give up, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. See that today? Sight restored to 2 blind men. Crippled cured. I like to see the blind. I remember a few years ago when I was in Las Vegas, Benny Hinn was coming to Las Vegas. And this man who was trying to drum up me to come and to Thomas and Mack so I could see this man in action, which I didn't care much about seeing, but he said, I've seen him heal people. I said, what did you ever see him do? He said, well, I've seen him give the blind sight. I said, where does he live and what's his name? Well, I don't know who he was. He said he was blind and then he could see. Well, that made it authentic, didn't it? You've never seen this. You know, but think about this. If they could truly heal the blind, they'd need brick armor cars to follow them everywhere they'd go. Because there would be people lined up for miles. Who is blind and would not want their sight? Who would be lame from birth and would not want to be healed? You know, I don't ever doubt the people that go to those healing services that they want to be cured. What I think is sad when they turn away and say it's a lack of their faith. It has nothing to do with their faith. Centurion's servant's healed. His servant. This master loved his servant so much that he went to Jesus asking to be healed. Man, deaf and dumb, made well again by Jesus. Blind man, Mark chapter 8. Man born blind, John chapter 9. Remember that story? They tried to trick him. They brought his parents in. They tried to get the story turned around. And the parents said, well, it looks like him. We think it's him. And remember, they said, who healed you? He said, well, Jesus, he did this and told me to put spittle, told me to go down and to pull us along, and I did it, now I'm seeing. And you know, they're arguing about, well, he couldn't have done it. He's a sinner. He didn't have the ability to do that. Remember what the blind man said in John 9? He said, look, basically he said, you deal with this. I was blind, and now I can see. That's the fact. And remember, they got mad, cast him out. He said, what, are you sinner? You're going to teach us? He just tell them the facts. Woman afflicted 18 years. She's healed instantly. Man cured of dropsy, Luke chapter 14, 1 through 4. 10 lepers. Not just one, 10. But you know the sad part of this little story is only one came back and thanked him. Healed 10 people of leprosy, and only one had the gratitude in his heart to come back and thank Jesus. Ear of Malchus healed. Remember Peter? Petrus, Peter, remember cutting off the servant's ear? Remember Jesus putting it back on? You ever see anybody do that? I'm not going to volunteer my ear or my arm to see if they can do it, but you ever see it done? You've never seen it done. Let me tell you one other little thing about this story. A number of years ago, there was one of these healing services. It's not important who it is. But in the process, I don't know if any of you have seen any of these, they get them in front of them and they're going to say in the power of Jesus, and they kind of hit them on the head and they fall over. Well, this one person got a little bit too exuberant, and he went forward when he should have went back, and he hit him pretty hard and he knocked him off the stage, and when he did, he broke his leg. Made a compound fracture, bone sticking up through the leg. And you know what? All the whole time they were taking him out to the hospital, and he's asking for this man to heal him. And he goes in the ambulance and he leaves, but if that man had the power to heal, what would it have done if he'd have walked down there, put his hand on where that compound fracture was, and put it right back in his leg, in his body? What would that have done? You think a word of that have got out? I think so. Power over death. Just three examples. Jairus' daughter in Matthew 9, the widow's son in Luke chapter 7, and Lazarus in John chapter 11. A number of years ago, I was in a Bible study with a Pentecostal minister. And we were talking about the Godhead. That's where it started. And he made the mistake of saying that he had the ability to do miracles. I said, all right, get your coat, let's go. I had a friend that worked in a morgue. One of our members had a family member that worked in a local morgue. I said, we're going down the morgue. I said, what are we going to the morgue for? I said, you got the power of God. You can do exactly what the apostles did. You can do exactly what they did in the first century. I want to see you raise somebody from the dead, and if you'll do it, I'll become a Pentecostal tonight. He says, you're tempting God. No, God didn't make the claim. You did. You see, my faith has nothing to do with it. If you have the ability to raise the dead, my faith has nothing to do about it. Your faith has nothing to do about it. You've never seen anyone do this, have you? You know, a few years ago, they had a big write-up that this man claimed he was going to raise his mother-in-law. They had thousands of people. They had the TV, and they were there all day and all night. She still remained in the casket. He never raised her. You know what he said? Guess his faith wasn't strong enough. Had nothing to do with his faith. Now, brethren, what do people do today? Things you can't see. Cancer in your body. Hearing. Kidney disease. Things you can't see with the naked eye. And for good reason. You know, fraud is still a crime. Fraud is still a crime. Now, if they were fraudulent about it, the authorities would step in. But they don't promise anything. And what they do is unseen to the naked eye. And what they do is they say it's faith. But I want you to consider some things in closing tonight. Number one, Jesus had the power to forgive sins on earth. Men have that ability today. Some claim to. Some claim to be able to forgive sin. You got to go and confess your sins to them. Why? Matthew 9:6, God is the only one that can forgive sin. That leaves us out of the equation. Fulfill prophecy. Matthew 8:16-17, Jesus said he came to fulfill prophecy. Heal all brought to him. You ever see anybody come to Jesus and thought, that's too hard? I can't do that. You know, it's like I don't do windows. I don't do that. You ever seen anybody come to Jesus where he had to turn away, he couldn't do it? Come to the apostles and they couldn't do it? You ever seen that? You never have you? I've seen it in healing services where certain people were turned away because they couldn't be helped, but it wasn't because they couldn't heal them, because of their faith. All manners of sickness. It didn't make any difference what it was. He had ability over all human ailments. Do men today? Let's be honest, brethren. You know, if these men are healing the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, the people that were born mentally ill, if they were healing those kind of people, why are they keeping it a secret? Brethren, God, the apostles, and the early disciples, they had the ability to heal all manners of sickness. Men don't have that ability today. Look at this. No failure. Did Jesus ever start to heal and have to stop because he couldn't do it? The apostles did. The early disciples did once, and he told them it was because of the lack of their faith and God's ability, and then he turned around and healed them. But there were no failures. None. That can't be said today. You know, Oral Roberts some years ago was very big in the healing business, but he kind of stopped around the 60s and 70s. You know why? Because he had so many lawsuits against him. You know, there were children taken off dialysis machines and died at one of his crusades because the parents thought that he had the power to heal them. And when they died, you know what they said? The parents' faith wasn't strong enough. It wasn't strong enough. They took him off the dialysis machine. They brought him to him, and they had weak faith. Then what are people thinking about? You know, you don't see him make that many bold assertions today for good reason. Man's faith not necessary. What I think about God's power is not relevant to the situation. God's power is not dependent upon my faith, nor yours, because it belongs to God. And God's power is greater than us. Healed immediately. They just didn't feel better. They were better. I've went to a few healing services. Some of you have been a lot more than I have. You ever remember them saying this? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel a little bit of movement in your leg? Doesn't your arm feel a little better? Don't you hear a little bit clearer than you did before? You ever see that happen when the apostles of Jesus did something? Well, Lazarus, do you begin to feel life come back in your body? It didn't happen, did it? It didn't happen. It was instantaneous. They didn't feel better. They were better. And they were better immediately. That doesn't happen today. And something else I want you to consider. There were no healing services. Show me a healing service in the Bible. Show me one time when God called people together for no other purpose than to heal them. Show me where he ever used a healing service as a drawing card. Never did. It was to confirm the word. It was never for a name or prestige. Jesus, remember, they wanted to make him king. He ran away from him, John chapter 6. That wasn't what he was about. He didn't want fame. That's not why he did it. That's not